April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Go Birds! Go Birds!
Hey! Hello! The Go Birds Podcast, presented by the Bet Parks Sportsbook and Casino app. Elliot Shore Parks.
What up?
James Seltzer with you. Elliot back from Arizona. Owners meetings. Tons of stuff to get into.
Yes. Let's
be honest though. I'm gonna do my best today.
I'm gonna try.
It's opening day.
It is opening day.
So anyone watching the stream can see my Phillies cap. I got my cap on today. I'm Phillied up today. So, I just got to be real with everyone. I never lie to the Go Birds listeners.
You never lie. That's a fair point.
I'm going to talk Eagles. I'm excited about the Eagles. But, like, my heart is with the Phillies.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
Look, I wore a red hoodie.
You did?
It is what it is.
I appreciated that. It is what it is. No big deal.
I do think to combine a Phillies-Eagles take.
Ooh, see, this is why he's the best in the business.
Yeah, that's why I try.
The beat writer you need.
I do think the Phillies this season, like, especially before the Eagles start, will be a good preview of the challenges of coming off of playing in a championship.
It's a really good point, losing a championship. Yeah.
Like, the Phillies are definitely talented, obviously. But, man, it's hard. You know, like, Reese thing, like, whatever. But, yeah, no, I agree. The playoff run last year definitely, I think, adds excitement. Because I think Joe said this today, Joe DiCamera on the morning show, how if you look at, like, 5 days before they made the playoffs last year, we're they're losers.
Everyone
who cares? Blow it up.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then they go on a run and, you know,
changes
things
everything.
Change. Yeah. Which is so different than the Eagles because the Eagles
were
so great all year. But
they both ended in the exact same place.
We talk about the chat on the pod often.
Shout out to the chat.
The one with me, you, and Jack.
I'm
in Arizona and I look again. It's impossible to be in Arizona now without thinking of the Super Bowl.
I bet.
It just is. Like, on my flight there, I was thinking about how the last time I flew there, it was because of that. When I walked in the airport, I remember seeing the Super Bowl signs.
Arizona's ruined now.
Being, you know, yeah, like, and man, it's just so crazy to think. Like, I tweeted this out and got a lot of different responses. And it's interesting now that we've had a few weeks or, you know, like a month and a half or whatever since the game, how you view it differently. And the thing I just think about so much with it, and I thought about, like, the whole time I was in Arizona, was they were up 10 points and lost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have almost bet my life. They were so good at holding leads and, like, everything. And I still think the season's so special and all that. But, you know, not to start the pot on a bummer.
It
is what it is. Being in Arizona, you could feel it. And I was debating telling this story on the pod, but I think I'm just going to tell it.
I love it.
And I was
going
to hold it to the end, but
great.
I'm not even going to do that.
No, nor should you.
All right, so not to get into discussion about, like, media rooting interests, and I know how you feel about it. I feel the same way, all those things. So the NFL owners' meetings, they have a party every Monday night. Every year they have a party. And it's, like, outside. It's owners, head coaches, GMs, like, every team, and they allow the media to come, which is really cool.
That
I'm shocked.
Very cool.
Shocked that they do it.
I am too.
I'm like floored they allow the
it's
media.
Like, why?
Yeah.
What's the upside here to let the media in the building?
So I debated going into the party, like whether I wanted to tell Nick this, Nick Sirianni, obviously. And I did, and I'm happy I did it. I want to share it with the Go Birds listeners.
Oh, is this? I know about this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This well, is, no. This
okay,
isn't what you think.
Okay, something else. Oh,
well, I did show him the video of me rapping at the wedding.
This is what I know. He showed Nick Sirianni the video of him rapping.
And to be
the
fair,
wedding.
There was context. There was a live band, and they were doing More Money, More Problems.
Okay.
So
okay,
that's how
Mo
that
money.
Came up. Yeah. Well, I debated saying Mo, but I can't decide. Well, I know what it is.
The name is Mo Money, Mo Problems. It's the name of the song.
I know. It just feels like it sounds silly when I say it.
It does.
Mo Money, Mo Problems.
But it's the name of the song.
So anyway, so I kind of feel like I represented the pod well with this. I said to Nick, I was like, you know what, Nick? I just want to let you know, I thought you deserved to win that game. And I really think you're going to end up winning one.
Love this. Look at you. Yeah.
And I just really feel that way.
Yeah, I do.
Like, being in Arizona, like, they deserve to win that
game.
You
know how I feel,
again,
buddy.
I know the Chiefs were the best. Like, we're not getting in all that.
We're not going to fight about it again.
Nick Sirianni, as a head coach, he deserved that one.
Yeah.
And it just sucks they didn't win it.
Yeah. True words were never
it's
spoke.
So funny, like, he was very kind, like, you know, it was a nice moment, but you could also tell there was a part of him that was kind of like, yeah, Elliot, I know it sucks
yeah,
we
thanks,
lost.
Buddy. Yeah, see, here's what I understand. You do all this, you go up and
but it was a nice shot.
Represent
like, you know,
the pod, it's a really nice restaurant,
yeah.
But, you know, instead of that, you could have gone up to Nick and been like, hey, Nick, I have your new best friend, and he's
yes.
my pod partner.
Well,
like,
Nick
why
needs
are
to
you
come
guys
on
best
the
friend? What is happening here?
Nick needs
How
to come
me and
on
Nick
the pod.
How are not best friends yet? Of
yeah.
all the people in this city who are not best friends,
well,
and should be.
So here's another takeaway from the party. There is a clear set of coaches that like think they're so cool and like they always hang out with each other
oh,
and it's
brother.
Like and it's like oh like do you want to get? I bet you could probably guess who they are.
I'm sure I could.
Go ahead.
I'm sure Sean Payton, one of them.
No, so this is
really?
A different vibe.
A different vibe.
It's like Sean
so,
McVay,
oh, I was just about
Kyle
to say McVay, Shanahan,
Mike
yep,
McDaniel.
That's the other way I was
like,
going to go.
These coaches are like, they're all like hanging
like
out.
Like the young,
yeah,
genius
it's like
guys.
All like, you know, tightly dressed clothing and everything. Like very like, look how young and hip we are.
Oh,
and there was part of me that was thinking like, Nick belongs in there. Like
absolutely.
Nick is young, Nick is successful.
Yeah.
But you know who Nick hung out with all night I saw?
Oh, God.
Like, Steichen and Gannon.
Aww.
And I thought that was kind of cool. You know,
nerd.
Like.
So our coach is the nerd. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think that's a good quality.
I mean, it's the like one coach who was left out of the picture when they took the picture.
Well, that's the other thing.
It's outrageous.
He should have been in that picture.
It's outrageous.
He should have been
for
in
those
that picture.
Who don't know, they took a picture of the 32 NFL head coaches.
Yeah.
Somehow there were 31 coaches in the picture and our guy was not in the picture.
And like,
I have no idea how that happened.
So
like, who? Someone should be fired for that.
So I actually think it falls on both sides. Nick and the Eagles should prioritize Nick being in that photo.
No doubt.
Right? Like,
yeah.
He should be represented in the photo. But also, the NFL should be like, Nick Sirianni just represented the NFC
no
in
doubt.
The Super Bowl.
Or
he should be in the picture.
Honestly, it should, even if it's, let's go, who's our least favorite? Josh McDaniels. Like, even if Josh McDaniels isn't there, like,
right.
You should count and be like, oh, look,
agreed.
We only have 31 people here. Are there 31 or 32? Oh, there's 32
well,
teams. Who are we missing?
Here's a really
it's
good
outrageous.
One. Here's a really good way to do it. Why is there an empty chair?
Exactly. Another way to do it.
Yeah. So he should have been in the photo, I thought. He deserved to be in the photo.
I think it goes without saying.
Yeah. He deserved to win
He's
the Super Bowl.
coaches.
Keyword of the weekend, deserved.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
But,
well, let's get into Arizona and your experiences out there. And obviously, you can add some color from being there and all that.
Well, I got a bit of a tan.
I could see you looking amazing.
Well, because you pack for the trip, you're coming from Philly, and you're like, it's probably not going to be that hot in Arizona. But how he talked outside, and like, I basically got burned the whole time.
Love it. Love
but you
it.
Know what, man? Like, it's the job.
I do.
The job.
It's a tough life.
Why you go to college.
It's a tough life you lead.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly why you go to college. You do like to tweet about packing and
yes.
snacks and this. And that.
Well,
you're,
we can get
big,
that
like,
end.
Yeah, we'll let that yeah. end. All right, let's get to what you experienced out there. Let's go in order of how they talked and your takeaways from each, because I think the one unique thing about the owners' meetings each year is all three guys
talk.
Have to talk.
Yeah.
And that is, there's nowhere else that happens. Like, Lori will talk twice a year maybe, but like, there's only one spot, one time where all three of the big dogs who run this franchise, the owner, the GM, and the head coach, all have to speak. And they all spoke there, and you were at all three press conferences.
Yeah.
Let's start with Howie. That one happened first, outside and all that. Your thoughts, your big takeaways from what Howie had to say. Obviously, the Hurts contract was a big theme. maybe some Carson Wentz talk was in there.
Get into that.
Your overall takeaways, and then we'll get into the specific things that stood out.
So it started with the Chauncey stuff, and frankly, at this point, you probably feel the same way the listeners might. Like, I'm a little tired of relitigating the Chauncey Gardner negotiation.
Yeah, well, especially when he's mouthing off
once he gets out of it.
Dude, that shot at Hurts. Like, all right, earmuffs 1, 2, 3. Go fuck yourself, CJ. All right, you just played a year with Jalen Hurts. That dude was awesome for you. That guy got you a freaking Super Bowl and is the most likable, you know, hardworking, whatever. And then you're gone from the Eagles and you're like, ha, Lamar's my guy. Like, go fuck yourself.
Well, here's what I'd say.
Go fuck yourself. That's what I would say.
He's allowed to think it's Lamar. I wouldn't tweet it or whatever. I forget. It was Lamar, right?
However you want to look at it, whether he meant it or not, the world will look at that as a shot at Hurts from CJ GJ. And that's.
I think CJ, and I think the free agency has shown this, he's a very online guy. Like, he's on Twitch, he's on Twitter, like, right?
So I think he was
aware of how this was probably going to be perceived. But the kind of, not to, you know, how he didn't say this directly, but like my takeaway from kind of like being there and hearing him talk about it, to me, I think we can now definitively say how this went. The Eagles started off by saying, we will give you this much money and we want you back. That money was not anywhere near what Chauncey thought he was going to get. And the safety market was not there. So the Eagles said, all right, you know, see if you can find more money. He couldn't. While he was doing that, the Eagles signed Bradberry and signed Slay. And then when Chauncey kind of, I don't know if he came back, but when like the Lions thing happened and all that, at that point, the Eagles were like, well, we're not paying you that, right? So I think two things. One, I think the Eagles started the negotiations feeling one way about Chauncey, and by the end, we're kind of like, we're good.
We don't need this headache.
And I don't think it was so much how he handled it or anything, but I think they were probably a little worried, and I think rightfully so. Do we want this guy back in the building if he's extremely unhappy with the contract?
No doubt.
And I think there's some, you know, look, they have strong leadership, and we can debate, you know, the priorities of keeping him versus not. I don't blame them for making that decision. We both talk a lot about culture and, you know, work culture, like at the Eagles, like all those things, right? So I don't blame them for making that decision. But what I will say is, I think the reasoning of saying we paid other people, I'll never buy it. Like, I'll never, ever buy it. I wish they would just come out more so and say, we're ready to move on. You cannot tell me that you didn't pay Chauncey because you pivoted to Slay and Bradberry. You just can't. Like, you could have signed Chauncey. So
yeah, they still could have, even at the end, for what he got. They probably could have made that
work
if they really needed
it. I don't know if that's as clear as it was made out to
be. Either way, I'm sure if they really wanted him, they could have made it. And if they really wanted him, it would have not come to that point.
That's the
overarching
theme.
It would have been like, are we going to match at $6.5 million? Like, that would have never gotten there.
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, I think there's been talk about Chauncey since he's signed where, like, you know, is this someone the Eagles wanted in the locker room? I really don't think it was.
Look, they
issues
offered him
they
a
had.
Deal, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They were fine. If it's something like that, it's a non-starter. It's like, all right, we're not going to even offer
and they
you
wouldn't have they would just let him walk.
They would be like, all right, we'll see you later.
So
they wanted him. I agree with you. I don't think it's that.
Yeah, I think it was the negotiations went poorly, and they were like, you know what? Like, maybe they saw a side of Chauncey they hadn't. I don't know.
Certainly.
But
well, look, it is two straight places, right, where he got traded
Saints,
out of the Saints, and then this happened here. And then again, look, I think Eagles fans wanted Chauncey back. The vast majority of them wanted Chauncey back. I wanted him back. But the way this has played out, like, I would still want him as a safety on the Eagles. Like, we haven't talked much Edmonds, which is someone you were talking about.
I like Edmonds, yeah.
Yeah. And I think for the money, I think it's a great move. Like, I'm really happy about it. But I wanted him back, but, like, and again, I'm with you. It's not like I care about he's on Twitter and he's tweeting again. Like,
right.
I don't really care about that. But like that shot at Hurts after, like, that did bother me. Mm. Like that, because that just felt like, you know, not cool. Like, I know it's such a simple way to put it, but it felt like, bro, like, you were just here for a year with this
guy.
And he knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
I have no problem with him propping Lamar up. Lamar should be propped up. Like, this whole Lamar thing is nuts. Like,
right.
And there is clearly something weird happening there, and he is worth more than what he's getting offered and all that. But like, dude, like, you just played the year with Hurts, and everyone's going to take it a certain way. You know everyone's going to take it a certain way, and he still did it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, bro, like, all right, bye. I'm fine with you being gone.
And I think that's probably, honestly, this is not surprising. That seems to be where fans are now.
Yeah, well,
with,
look,
like,
you know,
okay.
I think, you know, he turned on us, and that's fine. And he says we turned on him. Like, we everybody wanted you, dude. Like, everybody wanted you,
like,
here.
And from my point of view, like, irrationally.
In an irrational way.
Yeah,
we went through these.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, those polls were astounding. It was like 80% him and like 10% Hargrave, 10% Breyer, 6%. He was like, what is this?
I agree. So, the Chauncey stuff, that was that. In terms of roster building, like, Howie's never really going to say much. Like, I think they're going to add more another defensive tackle. I think they are going to, you know, Edmonds is a nice player, but I think they're going to add another linebacker, though, probably another safety. So there wasn't much revealing in terms of that. I will say I got the vibe, like, just the whole weekend. Like, I don't think they're taking Bijan.
Yeah, yeah. That was kind of the feel that came out of there.
Here's how...
Look, and Howard Eskin came on, and, you know, Howard, you know...
Yeah.
But
well, Howard was down there.
Howard came on the midday show today and said, I would be shocked, shocked, shocked if they drafted Bijan Robinson. It's not going to happen.
Here would be the world where they have Bijan at 10. If they're sitting there at 10 and there's nobody else they like. So I think this is kind of how.
Which is so unlikely.
Well, this is how I think they would
view it. I think they have to trade back to take Bijan.
Well, but here's the other thing. Like, so, all right, let's say you're sitting at 10 and you think Bijan has top five running back potential. And there's a defensive tackle, you know, whoever, not Jalen Carter, whoever it is, where you're like, he's a more important position, but I view him more as like a top-end rotational guy. Like, that's the type of decision they'll make where they want to take somebody other than a running back, but if Bijan is the best player at 10, then there's that argument. But
and it depends how much he's on their board. Like, if they have him as, like, hey, like, the third best player in the draft, the next best guy's the 10th best player, like, and it goes that way, it's like, what do you do?
And I know there's all, like, we sit here and say there's always an option to trade back, but I think the world where they take Bijan at 10 is the board didn't break their way. There's no one they view as an impact player at 10, and they have no, like, real offer to trade back. I think what they could decide is if we're sitting at 10, and even if it's a bad offer, we would rather just drop back a few spots, pick up a pick, and take somebody at 13. But I think...
Especially if they don't want to take Bijan and they got like four guys, like, ah, these are kind of the same
exactly,
guys.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
Like, I think they might take Bijan at 30, but...
It won't be there.
Probably not.
Like, you never know, but I think there are enough teams in the 20s who win now teams who in that spot would be willing to take a shot on Bijan.
I also don't think they're signing Ezekiel Elliott.
Good. I'm happy about that.
And
we didn't even talk about that on the pod, but I like you and I both had the same reaction. We were just like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like there is no, I do not want anything to do with this guy. Well, he's bad.
And I that aside, because he is bad, I do buy into the bringing Cowboys into the locker room thing.
Sure.
Like I know there's a portion of people that are like, you know, you can't not bring in a Cowboy because of past Cowboys. And there's truth to that.
It is unbelievable, though, how the past... The list, no one has ever worked.
Right,
it has never worked.
If you bring in Micah Parsons, like, duh. Like, you do it, right?
Sure.
But I think there is something to it, you know? Like, we can pretend like it's dumb all you want, but, like, if you kept drafting players out of the same college and it didn't work out, I think eventually you'd be like, we probably should stop looking at this college. So, I don't think you're going to be signing Ezekiel Elliott. In terms of Jalen... So the Jalen contract thing, and we're going to get into Nick and Jeffrey Lurie, but as a whole, everybody was very clear, like, we're going to sign Jalen.
It could not have been more, the message, like, I mean, it is 100% locked that Jalen is getting signed, the way they talk. I mean, Jeffrey Lurie, he's going to be here forever, here for a long time. Like, they made it very clear.
Yeah, and so I think the issue, not even issue, but I think the actual negotiating point with Jalen is not the money, it's the years. I think
Jalen wants a shorter deal to get another one quicker?
Because
it makes sense for the Eagles to do a longer deal, spread it out, do that whole thing.
Right. So I think the issue is not like the 2023 money or the 2024 money. It's in 2025 and 2026, what is this going to mean for our cap? But also in 2025 and 2026, are we going to have Jalen on a discount or is he just going to get a new deal then? So we talked about this a bit on the last pod, like, what do the Eagles get out of signing Jalen? Because if you think about it, they really could be like, you know what, Jalen, we're going to wait a year. Right?
I mean, in reality, they hold his rights for the next 3 years if they wanted to.
100%.
You know?
And we are both high on Jalen. But there is a world where you go, Jalen, you were awesome last year. It's 1 year of production. We're not giving you $180 million off of 1 year of production if you're not giving us some type of discount. Like, so I think that will be... And when I say discount, I mean in 2025 and 2026,
right,
not for next year. Where in 3 years, Eagles can sit here and we're doing this pod, hopefully, and we're sitting here and going, wow, Jalen's like the 12th paid.
And that's why, because when he gets paid, he will be in the top whatever. Like,
right,
whether
it's
one, whether it's two, whether it's three.
If
that's the point, because you can't have a quarterback in the top three forever.
Right.
Like, the whole point is, you're going to be the top guy for a bit, but then other guys are going to sign, other guys are going to sign, and then you're going to be 11, 12, 13. That's when we get our value, and you get your value early. We get our value late, and then we figure it out after that.
100%.
That's the, like, if both people are going to make out in this, that's how that works.
Yeah, and I think that's...
That's from, the goal.
And then from Jalen's perspective and his agent and the NFLPA and all that, like, look, he can sign a 7-year deal so they can stretch a cap out. What it's really about is what year
can he
get a new deal, right? And so I think that's probably where the negotiations are taking place. I don't get the sense that we're doing an emergency pod in the next week about this.
Well,
Things could change.
Did you hear what Rappaport said?
No.
Ian Rappaport said it's going to get done. Like, essentially, he's like, hey, they want him here. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
He goes, so the deal could happen anywhere from the next few hours to the next several months.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
And I don't
what
think
it's... What does that mean? Like, really, dude? Like,
right.
What?
I would just say, if you're listening to
when
this...
When I heard the clip, I thought he said the next hours to several days. I was like, what's going to happen soon? And the camera, we're listening to the guy. He's like, no, he said months. And I was like,
yeah.
He didn't say months? That's ridiculous. He said months.
I mean, you know, I made the joke before that when the emergency pod happens, it'll be, wow, what a great deal for Jalen. So I hope he got paid. Oh, I do think this is... It is going to end up being that way. But if you're somebody that's listening to this and is like, man, it hasn't happened yet. Why is it not happening? And you're getting worried. My advice to you would be just live your life as if it's done. Because
yeah,
it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Nothing changes.
Not acquiring a new player. Yeah. He's on the roster.
Taylor is going to be the quarterback.
He's going to be the quarterback next year.
It's
like,
a great point.
You know, it's just a matter of working out details in the contract. So he's going to get, they're going to pay him. And, you know, Howie didn't, like, negotiate through the media. He didn't come out there and go, look, we love Jalen, but at the same time...
He came out and said, we're going to pay the guy.
Right. He was basically like, we're going to pay him. We think he's awesome. Jeffrey said the same thing. Nick really wasn't asked about it, but Nick spoke highly of Jalen. He talked about how Jalen is in the weight room working out every day and, you know, all those things. So, yeah, from the Jalen's perspective... from Howie, like, Jalen's going to get paid.
Yep.
It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, anything else from Howie?
So here what I thought the most interesting thing Howie said was, he was talking about, I forget who asked the question, but the question was paraphrasing, essentially, you know, you've talked about making mistakes before after 2017. And if you look, like, you're bringing in Fletcher, Kelsey, BG, like, are you making the same
mistake? Are you doing it again?
Yeah. And I was just surprised, having been around Howie a long time, how defensive he got about it. He
really?
Was kind of like, and I agree with most of what he said here.
Well, you were saying it in the moment.
Yeah.
You were saying the pandemic, Carson Wentz,
right.
This and that, yeah.
But he also said, you know, he said, like, people act like those 2 years were a shit show. They were not real. Like, other teams, the Giants would kill for 2018 and 2019.
Yeah.
In fact, the Giants, the season they just had last year, almost kind of mirrored the Eagles' 2018 season in a way.
I mean, think about it this way.
Like, and Dable got coach of the year
off
of that.
Let me see. I just pulled this tweet up because I thought it was really interesting to see a Warren Sharp tweet. Here it is.
The years without a playoff win.
Years without a playoff win. And, like, the Eagles won a playoff game in 2018 and almost won
the
conference championship.
Yeah.
Like, really close. The Detroit Lions have won a playoff game in 31 years.
Dude, that is unbelievable.
The Miami Dolphins, like a respectable franchise,
right.
22 years since they won a playoff game. The Raiders, 20 years. I mean, they've won multiple Super Bowls, 20 years. Washington has won 3 Super Bowls. It's been 17 years. Like, so, like... I like the Jets, 12 years, you know, like, so Carolina was in the Super Bowl. Doesn't feel like it was that long. Carolina and Denver played each other in the Super Bowl, have not won a playoff game in 7 years. So, like, I'm with you. While in the moment, it was like, oh, God, coming off that, what a disaster. Like there are teams that would literally kill for those teams.
Exactly. So I was just surprised how defensive he was. It's not like Howie, in my opinion.
Especially now,
like,
especially
publicly,
when he's riding high.
Right. Well, now's the time to do it. You know,
but you also don't see him get that way when he's riding.
Yeah,
when he's riding high, he's jokey, fun, Howie. Like, it's rare that he gets defensive. It was only in the tougher moments that he gets out.
So the other thing he said was, you know, he was like, "Look, there were mistakes, but we got poor quarterback play."
Wow,
he just
went for it,
and he's right.
Of course, he
is right.
The worst quarterback.
And
in
we
the
talk
league.
So much about 2020, but Carson was not good in 2018.
Yep.
He was not good for the start of 2019.
Only had 4 games in 2019.
Even at the end of 2019,
it was a horrible.
And again, props to him. Like,
got
I thought it was a
playoffs.
Big moment in his career.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like they were winning these games.
One of the worst divisions in football.
And they were low scoring games.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So the offense wasn't exactly clicking.
And remember, they barely won. Like, the one at the touchdown pass at the end. Was it Boston
Scott
or whatever?
Greg Ward. Yeah,
Greg Ward. Thank you. Like, it was like literally the end of the game to win it.
Now, to that point, he was playing with Greg Ward in Boston Scott.
Yeah, he was playing
with
Greg Ward in Boston Scott. Yep, no doubt.
Howie holds his blame in that. But I think where Howie is correct, and, you know, it's it's a shot at Carson, but it also is almost like a warning to Jalen in the way that when you get paid, like, that's it. Like, you're the guy now. Like, Carson had to be better. And there were mistakes and injuries and, you know, Howie. I don't think he was, skirting blame as much, but he was
just trying to share the blame.
Yeah, but he's correct. The load. He is correct to point it at Carson.
Sure.
But it's also, you know, a little reminder to Jalen, like, once you get this deal, like, things change. You know, there's no more, like, what a great up-and-coming story. And, you know, they lost this game, but the defense was bad. Like, Carson never got any of that. Like, and it was right. Like, when you're making that type of money, you're expected to go out and produce and be the difference because you are being paid to be the difference. And Carson was not the difference in a positive way for the majority of the time he played between 2018 and 2020. Now, the other thing, and Jeffrey pointed this out, but, you know, Carson suffered injuries, right? Well, guess what, guys? You paid him after those injuries.
Yep.
He tore his ACL and broke his back, and you paid him after that, mm-hmm. right? So I think both things are true, you know, off of what Howie said. After 2017, and it really wasn't the 2017 offseason. It was more 2018, 2019. They made mistakes, and they should hold blame for that. And I think they're dodging that blame a little. But they also are correct in saying that it was the quarterback, and that more overall, outside of 2020, the Eagles in 2018 and 2019 are teams, were teams that while the arrow was pointing down and it wasn't who the Eagles are as a franchise, Lions, Dolphins, Giants, Washington, you know, Cowboys. Cowboys haven't won a playoff game in how many years, right? So, like, I think that with the hindsight of 2020, it wasn't as bad as from a, you know, an accomplishment standpoint as it was to watch.
It was just one year. It was the worst possible year and all that. And I think it coincided with paying the guy and then the guy falling apart. And, like, it felt like a franchise was falling apart.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. And it's a great point by you. All right, I want to get to Lori and Sirianni a minute. First, download the Bet Parks Sportsbook and
yes.
Casino app. I mean, seriously, and let me tell you, there is some real opportunity this weekend. First of all, you do live in-game betting, which I've told you, real opportunities in the college basketball tournament to make some money with the live in-game betting. And let me tell you, going into this you know, college basketball, the championship round this weekend, so to speak, bet on the underdogs. Like, UConn
good team for the pot.
UConn is a -139 favorite in this tournament going in, and there are four teams left. Everyone else, Miami's +450, San Diego State's +450, Florida Atlantic's +650. This tournament has been a disaster.
Yeah.
Like,
I like Miami.
I think that's a great bet. I like Florida Atlantic as +650. All they have to do is win two games.
They've I agree.
Some good teams. Like, UConn has looked awesome, and yes, like, they should be the favorite. Like, they're the most likely to win. But those odds are out of whack. It's 4-1. It's saying that one out of four times.
I agree.
Three out of four times are going to win it.
And super
crazy.
Long odds, yeah.
Super long odds. So I think there's a real opportunity to make that. Plus, the Parks Picks pod will be coming out basically at the same time as this one. Go listen to it.
Pretty much.
And I'm going to go through every single team in Major League Baseball and tell you the over-under win total.
We're all going to learn something on that pod.
We're going to learn something. Maybe we'll see. And again, here's the deal: all new users, if you bet $10 and you can get $125 in sportsbook bonus back if your first bet is a winner. You can bet on more than score. You can bet on points, rebounds, assists. You can bet on home runs. All that good stuff when baseball starts. So much fun with the BetParks app. BetParks.com has all the terms and conditions. New users and winning bets only $125 if your $10 bet is a winner. Sports bonus bet must be wagered once. See website for details. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Ohio.
Ooh.
How about that? Welcome, Ohio.
Welcome. I mean, in general, welcome to the 21st
That's
century.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And Elliot.
Well, I got a question for you.
Please.
What would you say the most underrated part of the house is? Or maybe most important?
Oh, this is a great question.
Look,
I'm going to go with the windows.
It's the windows.
It's the windows.
It's the windows.
See?
And here's why it's the windows, especially now that it's sunny out. I will say it is amazing. Like, one thing I appreciate in my elder state, like where the windows are and like how big and like the quality, it really impacts the lighting in your house.
That's true.
It does.
Oh,
like,
it's massive.
Like, so we have big windows on our first floor, but for some reason, and because it's a city, like the light just doesn't hit the way I want it to. It just doesn't. And I frankly never realized it until we partnered up with our new
Shout
out to Window Nation. So windows are important. I just proved it. Point blank.
Literally, yeah. It's factual.
And here's the deal, guys. Everyone loves a smart investment. I mean, me and James love smart investments.
Yes.
We talk about it frequently.
Yes.
And there is no better place to put your money right now than your home. That is true. Like, you can really build up the quality of your home right now and build up how much it's worth. If your home is 20 years or older, Window Nation has the perfect offer for you. You get 0% financing for 5 years. So 5 years, 0% financing, that's pretty wild. The amount of things I would buy if I got 5 years, 0% financing is frankly irresponsible. This is unheard of because zero interest for 5 years is simply wild. Plus, Window Nation will give you 2 free windows with every 2 you buy. Protect and increase the value of your home today. And again, there's tons of benefits outside of just the lighting, which is a good one, especially now that it's spring and summer. And it's great when you put, you know, you put the window up and it's nice and cool.
Oh, buddy, pop it open.
Take a nap during a game with the window up. So here's some other benefits. Save up to 30% on your energy bill. So you're saving money by buying something. That's pretty sick. Increase the value of your home by up to $12,000. I wish my value would go up $12,000. Kristen would be happy about that.
It could,
yeah. Get a federal tax credit of up to $500. And again, if you're, you know, if your windows are sticking, drafty, cracked, hard to open, or locking when they close, you need new windows. So everybody check out Window Nation. Just like, you know, just like Parks, they're a family part of the pod. They listen to the pod. They are real ones. They are auto downloaders. So how do you get in contact with them? 866-90-NATION. So 866-90-NATION. Great phone number. Or go online at windownation.com and tell them Ellie and James sent you.
That's right.
Always wanted to say that.
Me too. Yeah. Honestly, me too. I've heard it on the radio so many times. I've never gotten to say it.
Like when I was in college, I was thinking, what do I want to accomplish? And you want to do the thing where it's like, and tell him, Ellie.
Tell him I sent you. Yeah. Right.
I get to say James too, so that's
it's a beautiful thing. I do like your elder comment and your elder years.
My elder years.
Did you know the new term? So I'm right on the line. I've always been, so I was born in 1981. So it's like right on the line of the millennials versus Gen X. I was Gen Y for a little bit. Like there's no name for me. Like I was kind of in the middle. Technically,
You're unique.
Right. Yeah. So there's a new term.
Really?
I think I'm an elder millennial.
Wow.
Makes me sound wise, which I like. Also makes me sound like an old man, which I don't like.
So elder doesn't scream youth.
No, it doesn't.
Definition-wise.
Wise. It does scream wisdom.
It does scream wisdom. Wise. Yeah.
So, you know.
Well.
Everybody listen to me. I'm an elder. Okay. Yeah. Respect your elders. Boom. Respect
you know,
me.
I think the moments in my life where I feel the oldest is when if you're online, you're filling something out and it's like you have to go to your birthday year.
Oh, and
and you're like, all right.
You're in the 35 to 44 or whatever.
Well, not just that. Like, you just scroll to the year. So it's like, I'm scrolling down and I'm like, wow, I never used to have to swipe this much.
That's a good one.
A lot of years since the year 2000.
The sports stuff. I mean, now that Brady retired, I'm older than every professional athlete. Like, that's tough. That's a tough beat.
Is that true?
I'm not 100% sure. Like, there might be a baseball player who's like 42 or whatever, but like, let's put it this way. Within the next 2 years, I will be older than every professional athlete in the 4 major sports. Like, That's a moment, buddy.
Well, it happened for me in a lesser way, where like I used to be like the same age as a lot of the Eagles players. And now other than all the old guys.
Now you're the old guy in the locker room. It's like you used to be like, I can relate to these guys.
Be like, look at this newfangled TikTok these kids are dealing with in the secondary up there. Yeah.
All right, let's get back to the birds. All right, so who spoke next? Nick did.
Nick spoke.
I think probably the least, not necessarily ripping Nick, just more that we hear Nick the most. So
there's just not
the
as much to say.
Not as much to say, but anything from Nick.
Yeah, so I have a couple takeaways. One is, watching Nick talk compared to the rest of the coaches, you do realize what a good spot the Eagles are in. Like, his table was, it was like in the middle of the room. The table right next to him was the Packers table, so LaFleur was talking. And it's just a complete media circus, right? And then, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, John Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah, well, and Lamar tweeted
during it. That's what I mean, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you look around and you
see. Strong franchise.
The question the Eagles are being asked are, like, what are you guys going to do at your second safety spot?
Yeah.
And other teams, or
how hard is it going to be to go back to the Super
Bowl? Right, exactly. And other teams, it's like, so your franchise quarterback wants out, or like you have no quarterback, or like who are you going to draft, or like do you think you'll ever win a playoff game?
How
like,
are you going to deal with this messed up Lamar situation,
so,
man? It's not looking good for everybody.
No.
It's a really bad look. So,
that stood out from Nick. The one thing I thought he said that was the most interesting was he was asked, now once Jalen gets paid, are you going to change how you coach him? Because obviously at that point,
that is a really interesting question.
It's an interesting question.
Because that is something I think a lot of Eagles fans wonder.
Yeah. And he said no.
Good.
And I think that's the correct answer.
It absolutely is the correct
Because
answer.
Here's the thing. Like, if you want to say to me, am I confident that Jalen can be healthy for the next 10 years? Guess what, guys?
I'm not confident anybody can
nobody,
be confident.
Nobody.
Like, there's not one person I'd be like, oh, yeah, that guy's playing
Mahomes
for the next 10
gets
years.
Dinged up all the time.
Mahomes could barely make the Super Bowl. We thought he was going to be out at halftime.
Joe Burrow, who I think if you said, like, who would be the pocket, quote unquote, passer you want, you would point to Joe Burrow. He's already tore his ACL.
Yeah.
Right. And and Jalen was awesome.
Brady even tore his ACL back.
Right. Jalen was awesome from the pocket. So here, like, I understand that conceptually you want to minimize the hits Jalen takes. But I think what it takes to do that will hurt the team so much because there's a few ways you can do it. You can stop running the RPO in the running game. Well, they're really good at it, and they're in the Super Bowl in part because how good they were running the ball. You can tell him when the play breaks down, just throw it away and don't scramble. Well, guys, get ready for a lot of third and longs as opposed to like third and three or first down or second and four instead of second and 10. Like, so there's those things, right? Like, it was a clear benefit to doing that. But, you know, you could not run designed runs with him. And they really don't do as much of that as people think. A lot of his runs come off scrambles or RPOs. They don't do a lot of you are running it on this play no matter what. The truth is the NFL is like a 3-year window league. If Jalen can play the level he played last year for 3 years and not suffer a major injury, that would be an incredible win for this franchise. He would be worth every single penny if he is top 6 quarterback every year and stays healthy.
Without a doubt.
And he's missed games.
He'd be underpaid at that point.
Right. I think Jalen is good at the end of runs. I think that he's going to get hit. Like, guys in the pocket get hit. Guys, you know, like,
it's part of the game.
It is what it is. He's going to get hit. And I do think one thing, and this actually surprised me. So Jalen averaged 11 carries a game last year. So think about Carson with the Eagles. Guess how many carries he averaged a game. You can do before the injury or after.
Well,
I
would have guessed lower, but the reason you're asking this question, I'll say like 7.
3.5, 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
The year they went to the Super Bowl, he averaged 4.5, but the year before it was 3.
So I thought it would have been higher because the way you're asking the question.
And so if you said to the Eagles or a fan that was worried, hey, wouldn't you love to get that 11 number down to like 4? You would say, yeah, that'd be great. Well, guess what? Carson ran it 4 times a game. He broke his back. He tore his ACL, and he suffered multiple concussions, if I'm correct, or at least one in that Seattle game. So, like, ultimately, you know, we both drive our cars all the time. Like, we don't think about it when you get in the car, but that's risky. I flew to Arizona and back. It's safer to fly than it is to drive.
To drive to the airport. They're just, by a lot.
Yeah, there are just things in life that there's inherent risk that you're better off not being worried about it because you simply can't prevent it. You cannot prevent Jalen getting hurt. He can be smart in certain ways. I can put my seatbelt on. But, like, ultimately, there is risk involved in life, and there's risk involved in football. And if the Eagles are going to pay Jalen $50 million a year to be Jalen, the worst thing they could do is pay him $50 million and then water him down all the time. It's like buying a car and being like—
This is a no-brainer.
You know, like buying a car and saying, well, I don't want to drive it because, like, God forbid,
right?
It's a
great comp right there.
So— Ultimately, I agree with the answer. Is there a chance Jalen gets hurt? Yes. But if he gets hurt, it won't be because he runs it too much. It'll be because on one play, he got hit the wrong way or, like, whatever.
No, look, you could say that there is probably a slightly higher percentage of injury than if someone just stands in the bucket. But to your point, I think it's negligible, and it's certainly worth not changing what makes the guy special, because yes, he's great in the pocket and all that, but what takes him and his brain, and there's so much that goes into it, but one of the things that makes him truly elite and truly special is the ability to move and the ability to get out of the pocket and run. Like,
and
it's,
that's what I want in a quarterback.
I mean, he had 11 touchdowns last. I mean, this guy is like a massively important person in your ground game. He makes the running backs better. He makes the line better. Like, it is just 100%.
And I also just think there's something too of, like,
he's a football player,
watering him down.
And again,
you know,
to,
like,
your point, like,
getting
anyone,
in his head too much.
Any one of these guys can be running and tear their knee up in non-contact injuries.
Yeah.
Like, all right, that's the number one injury we fear the outside. You know, DeMar Hamlin has changed.
Yes,
certainly.
Right. I get what you're
saying. Like, in general, when we're watching football, outside a bad concussion, like, the injury that we fear for our players the most, the ones where we're like, oh no, are the ones with the non-contact.
Well,
it's when there's no hit. It's when they go and they turn, they fall to the ground. It's like, oh no.
And frankly,
like,
so those are the ones that end careers.
That's my point.
Yeah,
like those are the ones you fear the most when you're watching, whether it's an Achilles, whether it's an ACL, like those are non-contact things.
Yeah.
So I
think they'll handle it in the way where they'll try not to get him hit a ton, but you just got to let him be Jalen.
I'm with you.
Don't view this as 7 years. View it as 3 or even frankly 2. Yeah. Like, we thought Carson was going to be the guy for 10 years. He was gone in like 2 years after that, right?
Yeah.
So I just, like, I agree with what Nick said, and I don't think people should worry about it outside of just a general fear of your player getting hurt.
No, and again, and look, it's always going to be, especially after the injury last year and all, like, when he's running the pocket and he takes it, we're going to get nervous. It's going to be like, oh. But to Elliot's point, like, this guy's way smarter with his body than almost anyone I've seen who plays the game this way. So, yeah. You know, it's all you could do. All right, let's get to Lori. And then I want to get to Jeffrey Simmons things, and then we'll get out of here. Lori, though. You know, we played some of the comments on WIP, some interesting stuff. Lori, as usual, like to talk.
Long answers.
A little bit of verbosity when it comes to old Jeffrey Lori.
Good word.
But he was... obviously incredibly heavy praise of Jalen. You know, basically said, "I love him more than my own son."
Yeah,
he didn't exactly say that, but he implied it.
So he was more mature.
He's more mature. Your thoughts from what Jeffrey had to say?
So I thought Jeffrey, well, on the Jalen thing. So I asked him the question. I said, "You've given out
flex."
Yeah, no big deal to me. I was in the front row, whatever. But so I
Jeffrey Lori knows me, no big deal.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So. I asked him, like, you've given out a bunch of quarterback contracts. Like, what do you think is different about this? And I didn't want to be, a dickhead asking it. But the real question was kind of, like, Vic didn't work out. Carson didn't work out.
They've essentially given out three massive quarterback contracts, and two of the three didn't work.
Two not worked out. So
and Vic was great to get the contract, but the contract itself didn't work out. Obviously, the Wentz didn't. And McNabb worked.
Yeah,
so.
But I don't really always remember when McNabb signed versus
McNabb
what happened
signed that
after.
Bit, no, McNabb signed that big $100 million deal, and he was great for a while.
Okay.
So McNabb contract was a win.
All right. So, and he said, basically, first of all, he also did the thing where Carson suffered injuries, and it's like, bro. You signed him after the injury.
Well, so real quick, I want your thoughts on this because one of the things that I've thought about for a long time is that I think that that concussion injury was worse than it seemed in the moment. And it's the only thing that we can point to and be like, this was Carson before and this was Carson after. And Grant, I think it's definitely the ACL. But no, I'm saying it's not as big an injury. I'm saying No, obviously the ACL in the back changed his career.
Look,
we knew that in 2018, 2019, he didn't look the same.
Yeah,
but at the end of 2019, he had that run and was not the worst quarterback in football.
No.
And then the next year he was. And the only thing that happened in between them was the concussion. I'm not saying it affected him for that long or whatever, but it is interesting that Lori mentioned that we gave him the contract before the injuries, and the only injury after the contract is the concussion. I do think that is notable.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good point. So, you know, then he said the whole, I trust Jalen. And look, like, we all trust Jalen. It's not going to prevent him from getting hurt. So, like, there's going to have to hope he stays healthy. Lurie talked as if, and the deal is not done, but Lurie talked as if
they all talked
he's already
as if it was done.
Signed.
They all did.
Exactly.
I mean, they were saying things like Jeffrey Lurie literally said he's going to be here a long time.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't like,
we're
going to
work
here.
With him for a long time.
He was like, he'll be here. Like, it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it how candid they were with that.
The other thing that he said, there's a few, I'm trying to decide which one I'll talk about first. He said multiple times, like, you know, if we would have gotten the ball back with 148, I would love to see what would have happened, which is really saying...
We would have won.
You know what I wish I would have asked him?
What?
I really fumbled the bag on this. I think it's fair to ask him about the field.
Especially Lori.
Yeah, because he's the owner.
Like, the owner.
He's not doing the whole, look, both teams played. The question is, Jeffrey, you are part of the decisions.
NFL.
Yes,
yeah,
like,
you're one of the 32 most important people in this league.
What did the league think about this field, and is it something you guys are talking about? So I wish I would have asked him that. Unfortunately, we probably won't talk to him for another year. But
I know.
It is what it is. He talked about how
by then they'll have won the Super Bowl and
they'll slip all over Vegas again. He talked about how important developing players is going to be, and I think it's a good point. Like, because when you're paying Jalen that much money, you got to have guys that you draft for $800,000 and you get, you know, $20 million worth of production for $4 million, right? Like, so I think they're very aware of that. He talked a lot about how Nick is very comfortable going outside of his bubble to hire coaches, and you know how many people he interviewed, and Brian Johnson was outside of Nick's bubble. I think Sean Desai was too.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. I don't think it was like a shot right at Doug, but if you remember the reason they fired Doug is because
I think it was a shot right.
Yeah, he offered like the least inspiring head coaching staff you could think of.
It was just
guys
people he knew.
Like Press Taylor, Matt Burke. Like, so I think that was, you know, and understandably, Jeffrey liked the way Nick went about this better. So I thought that was noteworthy.
Which jives with Jeffrey's interview style, too. I mean, every time he hires that coach, he interviews as many people as he can. It was at 13 voluminous notes and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that does align with, I think, what Lori's core principles are on interviewing and hiring and whatnot.
Yeah, so he gave, like, a lot of behind-the-scenes people credit. Didn't name them, but just talked about, you know, how much people worked to get them to the Super Bowl. I'm trying to think. I mean, again, it was the...
There wasn't that much.
Kind of shot at Doug, the Jalen stuff, development. So remember that NFLPA thing that they...
Yeah.
Like, the, he said he didn't read it. It's like, come on,
sure,
bro.
Buddy.
Yeah, like, I just don't want to talk
okay.
about it. Yeah. But outside of that, again, it's just kind of like the Eagles are in a great spot. The backbone of the team, like Jalen, Nick, Howie, Jeffrey, there's probably not a better backbone in the league besides maybe Kansas City.
Arguably, yeah. And, Kansas yeah. City, I think that's it.
Yeah, especially
if we're talking about all of them, I think that's the only other one you would put out.
Right, like Daniel Snyder is being forced to sell while Jeffrey's in the room talking about.
Well, yeah, maybe like, you would like, think of the other quarterbacks like Burrow, but it's like Cincinnati is one of the cheapest, historically, one of the cheapest organizations in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
I mean, like they're not, I mean, we all remember the, it was only like 2 or 3 years ago, that Zach Taylor press conference where he had the like literal like science cart from like a school,
right.
like as his thing, as his podium and stuff. Like they're a bad organization.
They're a very bad organization.
So I'm
yeah.
with you. I think it's a really good point. All right, let's get to the Jeffrey Simmons thing, and then we'll do final thoughts and all that
yeah.
stuff. And by the way, if you are watching the video, don't go anywhere.
We're going to
do another pod after this.
Yeah.
So the Parks Picks pods, if you're listening, they'll both be out.
Yes.
May as well get out. MLB season starts staying a lot. But so stay here. That's coming up.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Look at you.
After the break.
What a freaking pro.
I know. Such a radio guy.
We'll tease. All that good stuff. All right. The Jeffrey Simmons thing. Obviously, the Titans seemingly, it looks like they're entering rebuilding mode, all that. Made it aware, releasing reporters
like
made aware.
Rumors, reports,
Jeffrey
whatever,
Simmons
yeah.
on the block.
Well, I think he unfollowed everybody on Tennessee.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
All the stuff
yeah.
we know.
yeah.
This guy is an elite defensive tackle, arguably, one of the two or three best in the sport.
Right.
Obviously, I think he's 25 years
yep.
old, if I'm not mistaken. I believe 1 year left on the deal. Obviously, he's looking for money, but he is also like an elite defensive lineman. Like, and you tweeted this, but it's like as soon as the name came out, it was like, this has Howie written all over it.
You could not invent a situation that screamed Howie.
It's unbelievable.
More than Jeffrey
Simmons.
It's just
Simmons. Like, oh my God. Like,
foundation
the, of the need,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
Found, the belief.
Foundational
the
position. Position of need. Age. 1 year left on the deal.
Yeah.
Unhappy with the team. Somebody that would be a shocking move. Like, this literally, it's like, couldn't be more
it's
Howie.
It's almost too perfect. It's
yes.
almost like, because it's so perfect, there's no way it could happen.
So, here's the question. Would you trade number 10 for him? Because I think we would both, without question, do number 30.
I don't think that's interesting. Assuming that Howie feels comfortable with the extension, and
I think you would definitely would if you were.
No, not. I think I would give him the money. I'm saying,
yeah.
I'm saying, can they afford it right now? Like, is this
a player
that they can bring into their plan?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because this is clearly a plan that they have, and the way they've navigated this, and the money they've spent, and Hurts, and the draft picks they've accumulated, it's all part of this plan.
Yeah.
So if they can fit Jeffrey Simmons into this plan, yes, I would trade the 10 pick for Jeffrey Simmons. I think this is a generational, in the NFL, like one of the best players.
He's better than any defensive tackle they have by far.
He's one of the best in the sport.
Right.
And you've got a window right now where you have a great team and a chance to win the Super Bowl for the next few years here.
Yeah.
There's a guy who could be here for a part of it, fit your biggest need on the team, which we've talked about. It fits from their organizational philosophy, all that type of stuff. Honestly, my bigger question is not would I trade 10, because I would. And again, it might not take 10. I don't know
what
the
money
might be.
You have to pay him
for 30,
which is
exactly.
Part of it.
Here's my question: is after getting absolutely fleeced, and not just fleeced, but like publicly chided throughout the season for trading AJ Brown to the Eagles, will the Titans do it again?
Well,
that's my concern.
It's a new general manager,
which helps.
Yeah,
they got like clowned now.
Yeah, I mean that would be a loser mentality.
I agree with you. You should not do it, but I just wonder.
But human nature is what it is.
They're humans.
Yeah.
GMs are humans too, Elliot.
But I don't think anybody makes a better offer than number 10. No one in the top.
If they offer 10, they're getting it.
Yeah, no team higher than 10 is trading
that
player.
I don't know if they would offer 10.
I don't know if they would,
because they have to look at these guys and say, like, is there someone who, obviously being Jeffrey Simmons would be a really high bar, but
right.
is there someone who can be a pro bowler for a cheap price for the next 5 years for us that might be more valuable to them?
Yeah,
Jefferson.
And look, if you get four, to your point, if the player you get at 10 gives you 4 years of Jeffrey Simmons, like, that's a win.
Even
like,
if they give you 4 years of 90% or
yeah.
85% of Jeffrey Simmons, like, wow, that was a win.
Right, and so I'm offense all the way, like, point blank period. First of all, I like Jeffrey Simmons better than any player they can take at 10. I like him better than all the
Without
corners.
A doubt.
I think, Bijan's awesome, but he's way more important than Bijan in a way. I would, you have to pay him, and that's part of it. But I would trade number 10.
I would do it.
If that's what it took.
If that's what it took.
I would definitely trade number 30. Like, I don't know what else you would add in, like, you know, a 30 and like a 2 next year. Like, I don't know, but he
I mean, AJ Brown was what, a 1 and
a 4?
4 and a I three. Mean, Jeffrey Simmons, similar value player to AJ
more important.
More important. No, yeah. I think Jeffrey Simmons will get more money.
I agree with that.
We just saw what Javon Hargrave got. He'll get that. He'll get 20 years younger. Yeah.
So,
which is massive.
Right.
That's part of the reason I would trade him is because he's so
good. I mean, again, the downside is you have to pay him. Like, in an ideal world, you think the guy you're going to get at 10, because we just talked about this with what Jeffrey said, Jeffrey Lurie. Like, what if...
Not Jeffrey Simmons, right. Yes.
You're going to have to draft and develop for cheap, and that is part of it, and especially number 10. But also, just you got to do what you got to do. And if you can get Jeffrey Simmons for number 10, you do it.
I think you do it. I'm right there with you. All right. Anything else on the Eagles before we do final thoughts and all that?
I mean, I did the how well they looked compared to other teams. No, I mean, I like the Terrell Edmonds signing.
Oh yeah, real quick. Because that was someone you I think last offseason and this offseason you kind of mentioned as an option for the Eagles as someone who, you know, former first round pick, talented guy, and played in Pittsburgh. You know,
he started a ton of games at the position. He comes from a great franchise. For what it's worth, Pro Football Focus had him ranked higher than Chauncey as both a defender and in coverage.
That's hilarious.
I think when you look at where he lined up closer to where Chauncey did. I don't think he's as good coming up to the line and playing man-on-man coverage. Like, he's just not. That's Chauncey's best skill. But I think as a safety, you could argue he's better than Chauncey. Mm-hmm. Chauncey is younger and could develop into being better. But if you had to play a game today, I think Terrell Edmonds is a better safety. Now, their track record with signing safeties is not great. Like, you know, they just haven't been good at it, but I like it. I think it's a good signing. I think you can pencil him in as a starter. I think it takes pressure off Reed Blankenship. I think they'll add somebody else. So, yeah, I think it's a good move.
All right, and quickly, last thing before we get to the final thoughts, because, you know, we're talking a lot of Eagles, really chopping it up about Howie and learning on it. Let's not forget, you know, what this podcast really is and what you really are.
Yes.
Number 0.
Oh, yeah.
Allowed in the NFL
yes,
now.
That is, I'm surprised we didn't lead with that.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, this is like the wheelhouse right
here.
Right,
so
I didn't want to forget our roots.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Here's my takes.
Yes.
One, I don't think 0 is as cool of a number as people make it out.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I really don't. Like, I think it's kind of lame.
Yeah,
if
I'm
being
not
honest.
Super in on the number.
I am right there with
I think
you,
there was
buddy.
This whole thing like, this is awesome. I'm not so sure.
I am so happier with me because normally, you know, I really trust your opinion on such things. And I felt like I was like a voice in the wilderness. I'm like, oh, it's cool. Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, 0. I'm like,
I don't
why?
Think so.
Why? 0 is not cool.
Like, I don't think Kenny Gainwell would look good in it.
I don't even like Maxi. I don't like Maxi wearing 0. Like, I just don't like 0. It's
better
on Maxi than it would be on I agree. But I don't like it. The number 0 was a weird number to wear when you're playing
sports. And I also think, specifically to the Eagles, it's going to look small on the jersey.
So you have to go 0 if you're going to do it. It almost has to be.
All right, but I think, and I tweeted this, you might have seen it, but I think there's a clear guy that should wear 0. Like, once I thought of it, and actually, I won't even say it, people tweeted it at me and then I agreed with it.
Is it Jordan Davis?
No.
Okay, because that was like the one
I think
where
he's allowed. I think it's only like,
Is it only like position players and stuff?
Yeah, it's like, if you're not a lineman, you can wear it.
I saw someone tweeting that Reed Blankenship should wear it, which I thought was pretty decent.
No, I hate that. All right, ready? Yeah.
I don't think anyone should wear it, but if you're going to pick one.
It's N'Kobe Dean.
Why?
Because 17 is an awful number on N'Kobe.
Okay, so just get him out of 17.
And here's the deal. It's going to make him look small, and I get that. But guess what, guys? N'Kobe is small, but you know what 0 will also make him look? Fast. And I think he would really benefit from a change of number, like just like spiritually, you know,
I like, that.
Like 17 was not kind to him last year.
Yeah,
he didn't
fair.
Play.
Okay.
And it's just, look, I get emotional ties to it. It's not a good linebacker
take.
Number.
Here's what I will say. I think it's very clear if they're going to do this stupid 0 thing, there's one player on the Eagles who should wear number 0. It's
all right.
So clear who it is. It's the punter, because they're going to be a 0 anyway. So you may as well.
Well, I do actually kind of like the rule if a franchise just said, you know what? The long snapper wears.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Yeah,
just give it to someone that doesn't matter.
Also, because it's a 0.
N'Kobe, like N-A-K-0-B-E would be a cool
logo
thing.
That would be all right.
I think N'Kobe should go to 0.
That's the best argument I've
heard. I think he should go to 0.
All right, final thoughts.
Yeah, so I got 2 really good ones, but I'll just do 1.
You can do 2, or you want to save one for the next pod?
Yeah.
Oh, stay tuned.
Okay. So
I only have 1 good one.
I have
2 that I'll do. I'll get through it, but I'll use my good one for this one.
We talked about being older, right?
Yes.
I was cleaning the house a few days ago, and I saw something. And I thought to myself, this is an ancient artifact.
Wow.
And you
ancient
know what it was?
Artifact.
You ready? A nickel. Coins? Coins? Coins are done. They're done. They are old things. It's like when you used to go to a museum and be like, wow, look at this old, like, you know, pebble they use like for currency Egypt or like, you know.
Yes, yeah, so it's like Egyptian currency.
Right, exactly. Like, or look at like this, like, I don't even know what the like old British used to use, like, whatever.
Pounds?
Like, yeah, like, look at this
They still use them.
Okay, well, what's like
They're
an old coin? Era. Like, I don't know.
Brexit,
like,
the whole thing.
Yeah, like, you know, shekels. Like, I just like.
Shekels!
Coins are old. Like, I'm serious. If you're listening to this pod, take a coin out of your pocket and look at it. And I think you'll realize, wow, like, these things are done. Like, I think there's, like, look, my brother's 21, so he's probably not quite there yet. Zoe will grow up probably never using coins.
It's really possible.
Right? I mean, she'll pay for everything on her phone. She'll use cards.
Right. By the time she's out there, it might be. You still get coins out there.
You get, like, think of the last time you got. How many times a year do you think you get change?
Wawa. It's super
annoying. Okay, but how many times a year? I mean, we go every week, so that's it. But like, and I don't think you get change as much as you think. But
use cash as much. But whenever I use cash, you get the change.
So think about it. You can pay with your phone, you can pay with your card, you can pay with cash, and even then, then you're only getting if you pay with cash. And so
they should just have everything be even numbers. Like, don't make this $3.79. Make it $4. Right. Like, what are we doing here?
Like,
that's the real answer.
Like, coins belong in museums. Like, they are done. Especially old-looking coins.
I don't think there's much
like, coins that were made
it.
In, like, the 70s that are still in circulation. Like, that thing is, like...
That's super fun when you get those. It's like, ooh, look at, like, a drummer boy, little drummer boy
it's quarter.
Yeah,
it's like finding
an Egyptian coin.
Yeah, it's being like, you know,
thousands
come here, young
ago.
Zoe, look what I found. When I was young, we used these to buy gum. Like, you know.
Yes, it's a good take.
Thank you.
Not really, but I like it. Here's mine. I have a phrase that I'm super into.
Oh, wow. My next one's a phrase.
Get out of here. Yeah. Oh, that's fun. All right, good. Well, I'm happy to use my phrase this time.
Hopefully it's not the same one. I don't think it is.
I just think it's so funny because it is such a patronizing phrase while also being, a compliment in certain ways. Whenever someone, you'll say like, oh, like I'm doing this. And be like, oh, I love that for you.
That is really good.
Oh, I love that for you. Like, not for me. Never for me.
Right.
But for you, this is great.
That is really good.
I love it.
It is such a backhanded.
Exactly.
Like,
so Emily always uses it for Zoe. Whenever Zoe will say something, she'll be like, oh, I love that for you. And I crack up every time
it's
because she's
like,
clearly mocking her.
And not to Zoe's perspective, but like, you know, it's like looking down on somebody.
It's so
it's like condescending.
It is so great, but it's also like, I'm saying a nice thing to you.
I'm going to find a way on the pod. You're going to be like, I would take, Christian Gonzalez at 10 and be like, I love that for you.
See?
But now back to the real,
It's a great phrase, right?
Right. That is
so
good.
Thank you. I felt good about that one. My next one won't be as good, but Elliot's going to carry us on the next one.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, literally next, both listening, just flip to the next pod, watching, we're going to do it right now.
Stick around.
Parks Picks Pod, Bet Parks Picks Pod. I got to get used to the Bet Parks. They're just Parks.
Well, think
parks
about it.
For
you
so long.
Bet at Parks.
That's right.
It's a good way to think
the
about it.
The Bet Parks Picks Pod.
Yeah.
That is coming up next. Until literally next. So until then is until now. But until now, he's Elliot James.